Good morning. This is Jump In Sunday. We're going to jump right into worship.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, together we start a new year of testimony and praise, full of unwritten stories and new opportunities. Together we pray that we can embrace all that the next year has to offer us. We ask that you continue to be with us and that your presence be felt in all things. We ask that you extend onto each of us the wisdom, the strength, and the courage to meet each new day and each new challenge head on and full of eagerness. Let this year be filled with things that are truly good. Let us look beyond the mundane or the struggles and see the blessings and wait for us at each corner. Bless us with the warmth of strong relationships, the strength to help those in our community that need help, and the courage and humility to accept it ourselves in the moments where we need it too. As we consider those around us fighting sickness, disease, or battles beyond compare, help us to meet them with hearts full of compassion. Let us find the way to reach out to them so that in each of us they find a strength that eases their pain and reminds them that there are people who care and will fight right alongside them. May our care for them be a reflection of your care for us. Lord, help us to care for the caregivers, people who are coming alongside those who are ailing. May your peace fill them and comfort them as they offer peace and comfort to their loved ones. Let all things be new this year. Remind us that you are a God of fresh starts. Let us become new creatures again, beginning today in this moment. Let the ministry of all of your children and of your church be not confined within these walls or the small circles of our lives, but rather be directed throughout our community and world. Remind us that it takes only one person willing to step out, speak up, and take a risk. Remind us it takes only one person to change the world. Help us to be the people who choose to do just that. Help us to be the people who are willing to let our light shine no matter the cost. Help us to be the people who are willing to jump in and serve. This year, as we serve, may we encourage each other with testimony of your faithfulness and goodness. May this be a year where our praise for your name spills into every moment of our days. We close praying the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The first scripture that I'll be reading today is from 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 20 through 21. David also said to Solomon, his son, Be strong and courageous, and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. The division of the priests and Levites are ready for all the work on the temple of God, and every willing man skilled in any craft will help you in all the work. The officials and all the people will obey your every command. And the second reading will be from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 14 through 20. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were our forefathers. When our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord, our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the hearts and are pleased with the integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willing your people who are here have given to you. O Lord, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in their hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son, Solomon, the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, requirements, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided. Then David said to the whole assembly, praise the Lord your God. So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed low and fell prostrate before the Lord and their king.
Would you pray with me? Blessed God, thank you for the opportunity to partner with you in ministry. In all of your greatness and in all of your amazing magnitude, you call us your friends and your servants. Oh, Lord, open our hearts today to not just live ordinarily, but live as your children in extraordinary ways, as your Holy Spirit leads and guides us to do this. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to start with a story, because there I was, standing on the edge of a precipice. Those aren't really my toes. That wouldn't be the color I would choose for my toenails. But gives you an idea. Down below me, as I stood on the edge of this precipice, is about a 30-foot drop, okay? And a swirl of blue-green water, you see it there, was rising up to meet me. That was supposed to be my landing spot. And people were all around me telling me to jump in, that this was great. They were all around telling me that if I would jump, I would not die. And they were saying, come on, just go, just do it, just jump. But I couldn't seem to move. I was so high up and the water so far down. This happened years ago when we were in Kauai. That's usually where we vacation with friends. And they had brought our family to a non-touristy local swim hole that was bordered by tall, craggy rocks and hemmed in by tropical vegetation and the weird caw-cawing of Hawaiian birds that I didn't know. And if you ever remember the scene in the classic movie South Pacific, which was actually filmed in Kauai, the swim hole there, it has the same look, except the rock there was much higher where I was standing. So, you know, when I think about that whole thing now, when I look back on it, I realize that there was little to be afraid of. I had spent the first 45 minutes watching Hawaiians just fly off the top of this cliff, you know, in cutoffs and bikinis and cannonball into the water, kaboom, hooting and hollering and coming up with big smiles on their faces. But of course, they were Hawaiians, right? They knew where the rocks were. But then to my horror, one by one, each member of my family and friends stood where I was now standing and took the leap. The first time they jumped off, they were wide-eyed and stiff as a board, you know. But then they began to jump off with delight and enthusiasm. Over and over, they jumped into this blue-green pool below. Yeah, you guessed it. I was the last one to climb up there to the rock. And I did it because I sort of sensed this unspoken expectation in the air that we all had to try it. We all had to do that. I stood there motionless at the top of the rock wall, the words, come on, Mom, just go, having no impact on my motor memory. There I stood. Well, someone once said that faith is spelled with four letters. That's because the word faith is spelled R-I-S-K. And I like that. You know, even though there is risk in our Christian walk, we got to take that leap. It is in some ways minimal, on the other hand, because God promises to be with us when we risk in faith, right? We don't do that alone. And plus, we have all these stories in Scripture that we can read about people who took risks and God was there. And even if we should fail or think we failed, God uses our failures for good. So in some way, the risk is minimal, and the Lord just says to give it a try as best we can. And so what we have to say is when we begin to serve, Lord, I'm willing to give this a try. I'm going to risk for you because I trust that you're with me in this. I'm not doing this alone. Now, so you have me on this precipice, right? And I haven't jumped in yet, so I just want you to push the pause button right now, okay? Hold that thought. Because I'm going to come back to me standing there. But for right now, just leave me there because it took me a long time. All right, I was up there staring like a zombie down at the water below forever. So if you just hold that, okay, image in your head. All right. I just want to shift to the biblical text that Chris just read. What Chris was reading about is the story of David. And I couldn't read it all because we didn't have the time. But this is what was going on. David was walking through his palace one day and he had a thought. He thought, here I live in luxury in this beautiful palace, this beautiful residence, and I haven't built my God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I haven't built him a house. I want to build God a house, thinks David, and I want to build God a temple where God can live and where we can all go worship him. And David was all excited about this, but then God says something interesting to David. He says, David, you can't build my temple. You have shed too much blood. Now, isn't that interesting? Because David was a warrior and God blessed him in battle, but it is interesting that this was apparently not God's highest way. And just as an aside, remember that when you read the Old Testament, okay? Because there's a lot of violence in there, a lot of things that we might not understand. And sometimes we wonder, is God a God of war and murderous acts? And here we see that although God helped David win victories in battle, and there was war and bloodshed, it evidently did not reflect God's best plan. And I just thought that was interesting. Then God tells David, your son Solomon will be a man of peace. He will build my house, the temple. Now, David could have been discouraged by this. Some of us get discouraged by our past and we think we can't serve. And David could have thrown up his hands and said, my past is holding me back. I have a dream and it can't be realized because what I have done back there, mistakes I have made, stuff that happened back then. But what I love about David, and you get this as you read the scripture, this is a part of who David was, is his pluck, his willingness to keep at it. We see this over and over again in scripture. He says, that's okay, God, I get it. I'm not perfect. And I've shed a lot of blood. I have. If I can't build the temple and my son Solomon is the one to do that, then I will put everyone's gifts together. Get everything ready now so that the temple can be built by Solomon when Solomon comes to reign as king. I will gather all the resources I can to that end. And he summons all the people and he says, bring all that you have, people. Bring all the gold and the riches. Bring them here and we will use them to build God's house. And what happened? Well, all the people came and brought whatever they could willingly and eagerly, and there was great celebration. People were excited to be a part of something so big and so wonderful. They were full of expectation and joy, and they gave willingly with generous hearts. And David tells Solomon then, be strong and courageous, Solomon, to do this work. Because Solomon at the time was very young. God will not fail you or forsake you. Every willing person skilled in any craft will help you in all the work. So I am simply asking you, West Valley Presbyterian Church, to bring whatever gifts to God that you can today to help build his church. And I'm not talking financial gifts this morning. I am not, although we love financial gifts, and that's great, and we can always use more. But I'm talking more today about spiritual gifts. What has God gifted you with that you can share with us that will help to build up the body of Christ here in Cupertino, the church. The Bible tells us that each one of God's children has been given unique gifts and abilities. Maybe it's the gift of caring, or prayer, of teaching, of healing, of administration, or hospitality. Maybe it's the gifts of helps. Did you know there's a gift of helps in Scripture? There is. And I don't care who you are or what your age is or where you've been. Everyone has something to contribute that God's put inside you. Every one of you has a unique gift to give and a unique God-given purpose. And the gifts God has given you are to help you fulfill that purpose. And that purpose, when you follow Christ, always, always, 100% always has something to do with building up the body, building up the church of Jesus Christ. And when everyone brings their gifts in to build up the church, to do what God has gifted them to do, there is a sense of celebration in the air, just that, like there was when David said, let's build the temple. If you read that text, there's tons of celebration. Everybody is so excited. But what if somebody handed you a gift? Like the one on the screen there, and it was lovely and beautiful, looked like that. Kind of squarish with a big red bow. Nice to look at, right? You could put it on a shelf and think, gee, that's really nice, just like that. That would be kind of silly, but the truth is, many Christians never open up their gifts. By that I mean they never use the gifts that God has given them, the gifts that are inside of them. Why is that? Well, sometimes it's because Christians don't realize they have gifts. They think the box is empty, so they never think of opening it. Can you imagine? What if there was a diamond ring in that box worth thousands of dollars and I never open it up? I'd miss out, right? Friends, God does not create empty boxes when He creates people. When He created you, He endowed you with gifts that are of great value. No one is an empty box. And sometimes we have to experiment a little bit to find out what the gifts are that God has given to us. But don't think you don't have any. You have valuable gifts. Gifts that are too valuable not to discover. You are gifted and you are called to serve. And I challenge you today to use your gifts to build up the body of Christ. Now, some Christians don't open the gift box because they are afraid they won't like what's inside. What if the sweater is the wrong color, right? So you don't even want to open the gift that the great aunt gives you because you know it's something you don't even want to look at. But translated, what if God gave me something to do with my gifts that I don't want to do? Believe me, although it is sometimes challenging at first, ultimately, when you operate in your area of giftedness, you operate in your area of greatest joy. And it doesn't mean that it's always easy, but it does mean that it is completely and utterly fulfilling. So fear not. You are gifted and you are called to serve. Use your gifts to build up the body of Christ. Sometimes, even when Christians take the risk to open their gifts, in other words, they know what their gifts are, they are scared to use them because they are afraid of failure. Like someone I know actually got a new bike for Christmas, and this was an adult. This person opened the bike. It was actually wrapped up in paper, swirls of it, okay? And this person opened the bike, but never used the bike. Why? Because this person was afraid that they would fall off the bike, all right? And they might have gotten a skinned knee, and they might have fallen a couple of times trying to learn how to use their gifts effectively. But because they were so scared of falling, which might have taken some trial and error, they didn't risk anything, and they missed out on the thrill of riding, right? There's nothing, friends, there's nothing more exciting than being a Christian. It's a thrill. Find that out. Because you are gifted and called to serve. So take a risk. Use your gifts to build up the body of Christ. Remember, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. okay. Three things happen when you use your gifts. One, when you risk using your gifts, you fulfill your purpose. You were wired in a certain way, and the gifts you have fit that wiring, and the wiring fits the purpose God has for you. Two, when you risk using your gifts, you position yourself for a blessing. See, there's something so rewarding about operating in your area of giftedness, but also when we give generously from our hearts using our gifts, we come into alignment with God's heart. Because God is generous and gives us gifts all the time. And when we are generous and we give to others using our gifts, it puts us into alignment with who God is. And it opens us up to being blessed in all kinds of ways. And finally, when you risk using your gifts, you partner with God. And ultimately, and you know this, God doesn't need us at all. And I'm not trying to be insulting here, but to be quite frank, God doesn't need you or me or the Pope or Oprah or anybody else to accomplish his purposes down here. He can do whatever he wants. God does not need us, but he invites us to join him. God doesn't need us, but he wants us. We don't invite God into our lives. He invites us into his. We learn as he teaches us how to partner with him. And that's pretty cool when you think about it, right? You are invited, gifted, and called to join with God Almighty in his mission in this world to reach out and build his church, build up the body of Christ. Well, now it's time to push the play button. And there I am. As I said, those aren't really my toes. There I am, still standing on the precipice. By now, every one of those cheering voices has left my side. I am standing there alone. People are bored of me just being there on the precipice in my shorts and tank top staring at the water. They've had enough. They're gone. In fact, it's almost time to go home. In the corner of my eye, I see my friend folding up her chair. I could go home in peace and forget this challenge and stay safe. Or I could take the risk and jump in. So in a wild burst of frenzied resolve, I leap from the rock. As I am hurtling through space, I hear the astonished cry from someone, "She jumped!" I hit the water, and the green blue sea closes over my head. Yes, I did it. I'm still alive. I kick to the surface and shout out, "Hey, that was great. Can you guys wait while I do that again?" Don't miss the thrill, the excitement, the joy of taking the risk of using your gifts to help build the Church of Jesus Christ. Jump in today. Try something new. Maybe you've been doing the same thing forever. Maybe you want to try something new. Sign up, though. Get involved. Be courageous. Give God a chance and trust him as you leap. The water is just fine. And right now, I'd like to ask if Robbie and Katie would come up here and share with you their experiences that they've had about jumping in. So come on up and share.
Do you all know the story of the Velveteen Rabbit? It's about how you become real. Real isn't how you're made. It's something that happens to you. The basic premise is that we get loose in the joints and our fur gets all loved off and our eyes get crooked. It takes a long time for this to happen. And in the process, we realize that we have become real because someone has loved us for a long, long time. I feel that way about God's love. It took me a long time to realize that God was lovingly guiding me toward things and the choices that I thought I was making all by myself. He was developing the gift that he had given me. Kim asked me to think about facilitating a caregiver support group here at West Valley. I was approaching retirement, And the thought of doing something that seemed like an extension of my job did not really appeal to me. I was ready to redirect toward idleness. After becoming aware of how many people in the church and those in the community were struggling with caregiver issues, I decided to reconsider. I prayed about it, talked with Kim, and I tried my best to listen to the still small voice that said, "You can do this." I jumped in. A tiny thought made its way into my consciousness. What if nobody comes? Then the still small voice said, "It's not about numbers. If you're there, that's okay. If only one person comes to the group, you can minister to that one person." I think God gave me the gift of empathy, wrapped in a stack of boxes that opened one at a time. First, I taught junior high school. Then I worked planning meals for very sick people in a hospital. I was given the opportunity to work with people in crisis, and having lost my only brother in a tragic event, I could empathize with people in crisis because I knew how that felt. That experience led me to working with older people and with their families who needed support. Support not only for finding resources and information that they needed, but also emotional support. Sometimes what's needed is someone just to listen and to understand how it feels to be overwhelmed by the responsibility of caring for another person. That support is magnified by sharing that experience and the challenges of that experience with other people who are also caregivers. It's not unlike binding fibers together to make a strong rope. I know in my own experience as a caregiver for my mother and for my mother-in-law, having God's love and the prayer of faithful friends gave me the support to do it and made it possible. It not only made it possible, it made it a pleasure. So here I am, opening another gift from God, a caregiver support group in the library at West Valley. I'm not here by accident. It took a long time for me to get here, and God was leading the way all the time.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Katie Hobbs, and I grew up going here to West Valley Presbyterian Church. A year and a half ago, I was transitioning back to living here in the Bay Area after college, and as a part of that transition, I found myself thinking about whether or not I wanted to make West Valley my home church. I began attending the Young Adult Bible Study, and Matt asked me if I could be a youth leader. I went on a houseboat trip last summer with the kids, but couldn't commit to being a regular youth leader. I turned him down with the excuse that I was too busy and my unconventional work schedule wouldn't allow it. In August of last year, I went to the Spirit West Coast Music Festival, and on the last day, I attended a morning worship service where the speaker encouraged us to be more active in our walk with God and to do more reaching out. It was then that I felt God tugging on my heart to get involved with the youth ministries at West Valley. And so I called Matt to tell him that I had changed my mind. I had to let go of my excuses and trust God. The truth was that the idea scared me. Middle school is a really tough time for everyone, and I didn't think I would be able to relate to the girls. I knew I had a gift for leadership because I had led Bible studies in the past, but I still didn't feel confident in my abilities. I took a leap of faith, and when I opened the gift of leadership the Lord had given me, I learned to be more outspoken about my faith and have been challenged to grow in my own walk with God and knowledge of the Bible. It took me a while to open up to the girls and gain confidence, but now I feel more comfortable leading small discussions and actually look forward to this time. There were a few times in my life when I felt God nudging me in a specific direction, and many times I didn't have the courage to follow through. This experience has allowed me to have more trust when turning my life over to God.
Thank you, Kathy.
Let's pray together. Thank you, dear Lord, for your presence and the power of your Holy Spirit that calls us into service with you. What an amazing God you are, that you would want what we have to give, and yet you have designed and you have planned that we partner with you in ministry. So lead us all today and in the coming weeks to jump in, open our gifts, and recognize the thrill of what it means to take a risk in serving you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise God. He's right here with us, and I'm so excited to see what he's going to do this year. This is a year of testimony and praise. We're going to be hearing a lot of stories like you heard from Robbie and Katie. Robbie and Katie, thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. That just blessed us so much. If you have need of personal confidential prayer, we have both Sue and Jerry up here. They would love to pray with you after the service is over. I am going to offer the benediction. After the benediction, can you just stay where you are for 1 minute, all right? And we're going to explain what's going on outside. All right, let's bow our heads for the benediction. May you be blessed by the God who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to give you the opportunity to partner in ministry with him. May you be filled with the Spirit, and may you know the peace that passes all understanding. Amen.